Welcome to the Practical Consciousness Podcast with James and Lisa, where we help you tap into your highest selves in everyday life.
Welcome to the Practical Consciousness Podcast with James and Lisa. I'm Lisa.
And I'm James.
Hi, everyone, and welcome today. We have an amazing guest today that we'd like to introduce, Liz Winter. Woo-hoo. So, Liz, this is going to be a fun conversation. So, Liz was born in Melbourne, Australia, and she always had a passion for nature and spirituality in her early teens and began to seek out alternative spiritual views and practices. Liz attended her first psychic development class at age of 16, and from there studied various esoteric sciences. Liz spent time in an ashram environment in the late 70s studying meditation. By her early 20s, she was a qualified astrologer. She opened an esoteric bookshop in Melbourne in the 80s called the Self-Discovery Shop. Liz studied with a medium for 4 years during learning the art of communicating with those who've passed on. And Liz has over 30 years of experience with one-on-one readings and teaching. She has a diploma in professional counseling and specializes in grief and loss. Liz has had several newspaper columns over the years, bringing inspiration to her readers. She studied with Doreen Virtue, the Angel Lady, and also author and spiritual teacher, Denise Lynn. Liz published her memoir in 2013 called For the Love of Spirit, a Medium Memoir. And her second book, Gifts of Guidance, 50 Messages, was released in 2017. And Liz's latest book, which I have read, Keeping Love Alive on the Other Side, Five Elements to Forever Love, was published this year, or in 2020. She's hosted her own radio show from 2014 to 2018. And now, coming up, she's about to launch her new podcast called All Aboard Mediumship. And that'll be available on your favorite platform. So keep an eye out for that. And Liz is also a professional holistic life coach. So she studied with that best-selling author, Alan Cohen, through his program, The Foundation of a Holistic Coaching. And Liz offers light worker coaching and mentoring, as well as general intuitive life coaching. So she currently resides in Brisbane, Australia. So it's for her during this recording, it's early in the morning, and for us, it's in the afternoon. So welcome, Liz.
Hello, hey, welcome. Lisa and James. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, we're excited. Glad to have you. Yeah.
So today we were going to talk about having the conversation around how our listeners can practically connect to their loved ones who've passed on. And we're hoping, our wish is to give our listeners some food for thought and some hope and inspiration that they can carry on a relationship with their loved ones who've passed on. Mm-hmm. So I'm holding this up to the camera, but I don't know.
No one can see it now.
Liz's book. I read your book and I loved it. It is so good and so inspirational, and I highly recommend it. But I wanted to start with what I read in chapter 3, which was that illusion of separation. That's what I think that's the title of it, but it was related to that. And so, I mean, the way I see it is so many people just define themselves as living in this body here on earth. And they're just walking around in this body. And so they're not sure what's going to happen when they die. Do the lights just go out? So I was just hoping maybe you could share a little bit more and put some clarity around this sort of misunderstanding of separation.
Yes, well, I think it's because we identify so much with ourselves as a body and as a personality, which of course we do, because from the time we can remember, we're, you know, you're told you were Lisa and you were James and I was Liz, and you know, we lived in a certain area and we went to a certain school and we were complimented on different skills and, you know, and perhaps not so much on others. And you begin to form this identity, and that's totally normal. But I think most people could agree that right through our lives, there's another part of us that is sort of acting like a bit of an observer, sitting in the background, just watching our life unfold. And it's like a certain awareness, a certain consciousness. But we can never really put our finger on what that is. But I think that is when we, as we grow up and we begin to question, you know, who are we? Why are we here? What's the world about? And often we don't express those questions because, you know, it's not really socially acceptable. But that doesn't mean those questions aren't brewing within us. And we've all had this sort of feeling that there's something more. And I think that's that consciousness, that awareness is the part of us that enters into our body when we're born. And it's the same thing that leaves when the body expires. I don't think that ever goes, but the body and the personality are finite. They don't last.
Right.
Yeah. So that's how I sort of see it. And if you research near-death experiences, and particularly a very well-known one, which I mentioned in the book, is Anita Morjani in her book, Dying to Be Me. It's a fascinating account of a near-death experience. And
I read that book. It's amazing.
You have?
Yeah. Yes.
She just
I followed her a little bit because I just love her message.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fantastic. And at that moment of death for her, she was aware of several things going on at once. She said she was in the hospital room. She could see her body. She could see the doctors. She could see nurses in the hallway. She was aware her brother in India was boarding a plane to come and see her sister before her sister died. And she was aware of her father who'd passed and her best friend who had passed. She said all at the same time. It's very hard for her to describe it, but all these things were going on simultaneously. And that is a great insight into how it may feel when we're not in our body or our particular personality. And if you research near-death experiences, there's so many similarities, as you know, different sort of takes and, you know, different people there and tunnels and light, but there's this theme. And the other thing she mentions is total peace and total, everything is perfect as it is. No anxiety, no fear, no worry.
Yeah. And I think many people that have been interviewed who've had near-death experiences and had that type of experience, that's what they say. All I know is I felt complete peace, like nothing, everything's perfect, like you say. Yeah.
And a lot of them say they didn't want to come back, but
I know. You have to go back. Who would want to come back?
Complete peace. Yeah. I think that
what's interesting though is I've heard that spirit is confused sometimes I don't know if confused is the right word, but by how much we struggle. It's like, it's fun there. You're on earth. Have fun. stop suffering.
Suffering is a choice. That's for sure.
It is. Yeah. Why are you doing that to yourself?
Yeah. And I guess that's it. Part of the learning and part of the journey is learning how to be in this finite lifetime and make the most of it. And, you know, I think it's a learning curve and it's a work in, it's always a work in progress.
So people, when their loved ones pass on though, like they're having this life experience, they're really enjoying their life. They've got their loved ones with them and then poof, they're gone. You know, what advice do you have for people in that situation where they feel like, well, now there's no fun or joy in life because my loved one is no longer here?
Well, I think a good way to look at it is to imagine if your shoe was, you know, on the other foot. If it was you in spirit, what would you want for your loved ones? If you still had an awareness and you still had a consciousness and you were looking at your loved ones crying and not enjoying their life, you know, automatically you would want to say, hey, you know, get out there and enjoy your life. And you know, we're going to meet anyway. you're not going to be there forever. So, you know, you would
I'll want, see you later.
You would want that. And also just that you, I may not have a body anymore, but my consciousness is still here for you, you know, and I can still help you. I can still connect with you. And if you're open to it, you know, maybe
that was the first element that you, so you have five elements that you talk about in your book. And I think that's the first one, right?
Well, the first one is belief. And really all of the five elements, you know, the first one's belief, the second one's feel safe, which, you know, I'll just briefly mention them all. The third is intention. The fourth is learning the language of spirit. And the fifth is being open to healing. But all of those elements you could put under the umbrella of mindset, really. It's looking at your mindset around your whole belief system of life and death and what you believe and the different ideas we've picked up from society or from our parents or our school or the media. The media has great fun, you know, with you know, horror movies and, you know, ghost hunting and, you know, like, so we've picked up all these really strange ideas, a lot of us, without even knowing we have. And there's an awful lot of fear around, oh, don't talk to the dead, you might get in trouble or you might get hurt or you might get possessed or, you know. So I think we really need to sort of, that's why I said the first one's belief, is just to analyze, to sort of stand outside yourself and get that bigger picture of, you know, ask yourself what beliefs do I actually have? Because those beliefs may be blocking your loved one from being able to connect a bit, who's passed over, to connect a bit more closely with you, because you could be putting up a fear wall type of thing.
Mm. Yeah. And they can't get past that.
Yeah.
Or you can't hear them because that wall is there.
Yeah, that's right. And all I really suggest is just to be open. And maybe to educate yourself or read more or look for mentors and, you know, find out a little bit more and take what resonates with you and give it a little bit of energy, really, around your belief system and just loosen that up a bit, you know.
Yeah, I love that idea of loosening it up a little bit, because sometimes, like you say, our beliefs get in our way. And we're not growing as we could grow because, you know, we formed a belief, whatever it is. And sometimes if you just like set it aside, you don't have to believe anything right now. You can just like, let me just let go of that particular belief and just stay open and pay attention and notice. And then a new belief might form, but it'll form, you know, without kind of influence, I guess, or you know, it's your own sort of form of belief. It's not a belief you bought from your parents or bought from church or whatever the case may be.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. And what I've found is when people do lose someone they really cared about, they pretty quickly become a lot more open. You know, I've seen the most conservative thinkers, you know, because of their love for that person, because, you know, their heart's aching. They're actually, look, maybe I could be a bit more open, you know?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So. I actually in my family have experienced what you are talking about. Very, very skeptical family member. And then we lost a very endearing member of our family, a very strong personality. And that person claims that member of our family actually, you know, reached out to them and made some contact in a dream, and complete 360. They were like, you know what? I've changed. I believe that family can connect with us if we're open to it. And so I believe what you're saying is absolutely true, is that even the most skeptical can, even though they don't embrace a lot of things or maybe a black and white kind of mindset, they can at least open their heart up enough to let them, you know, reconnect with somebody that they're missing or somebody that they, you know, they really want that connection with. Mm-hmm. So I definitely believe that's true.
And I think it's because love is, it's true that love is the most powerful force in the universe. And because when someone we love so much passes, you know, miracles can happen and connection can happen. And I love that you said your family member had a dream, because I think dreams, spirit just love visiting us in our dreams, because we bypass all of that belief system, all of the fear. You know, it's just like direct. And I really call those dreams visitations, because they I really believe that they have a different quality about them. They're very vivid. It's almost, I've had those sort of dreams where you feel, you can physically feel the person, you can hug them and feel them, you know, like it's really not a dream. And sometimes we might not remember it all, or we might only remember fragments. But sometimes it can be very powerful and leave you with a feeling that lasts for a long time. And obviously with your family member, they thought the only way we're going to get through to that one is in a dream.
Through the
just
dream.
Show up. I'm just showing up. Here I am. Now tell me I'm not here. That particular family member would definitely, that would be their style too. I had a quick question about, so showing up in dreams is definitely one way I think we can connect. I've had experiences where I don't know why I feel this way, but I've had like smells sometimes. My grandmother was a pretty heavy smoker, and I sometimes feel like I can smell that cigarette smoke, and I get the impression somehow within me, I feel like she's there, she's here. And that's just kind of her way. That's my way of connecting with her, because it is. So is that a thing? Is that real? Or?
Absolutely. Yep, that's very common. And it's like our senses turned inwards, really, is one way spirit will communicate with us. You know, so when we have a vision, you know, it's like our sights within, or sometimes we hear them, not very rarely hear them outside yourself, but within our mind, and it's like they download thoughts to us. Sometimes you don't realize it's them. It's like they drop a thought in, and scent is definitely another one that people report that a lot. And cigarette smoke does seem to be a popular one. All the smokers,
I've experienced it. Yeah, there were a lot of smokers back in the 50s and 60s. I experienced that with my grandfather whenever, and he's the first one, because my grandfather and my grandmother smoked. But he's the first one that comes to my mind when I smell it. And so that's how I know it's him.
Yeah, I've had perfumes and, you know, specific oily smells like lavenders, and someone will say, oh, yeah, that was my grandmother. She always had lavender, or, you know, even cooking or smelling scones baking and things like that. So
does spirit do that with you? If you're doing a reading for someone, will they do that for you? Like, and you'll say, well, I'm smelling.
Yes, not always. Whatever. I mean, sometimes, sometimes they'll communicate in that way. They'll use whatever they can, really, to get through the evidential information. It's them, I think, you know, because that cigarette smoke, for example, is like, well, yeah, I know that's my grandmother, or, you know.
Yeah, it's whatever's going to, like, trigger that. That's why I say I know it's my grandfather instead of my grandmother, because he's the first one I think of whenever it's happened. And I think, hi, Granddad. You must be here.
Yeah, so it's a lot to do with the willingness, you know, the willingness to be opened, you know, to maintain a relationship with your loved one once they've passed, is that willingness to want to maintain the relationship. And I think a good beginning point for people is to just start talking to them. I mean, you don't have to walk around the house talking to nobody aloud. That might feel a bit weird, but you can talk to them within yourself, and just as you would to, and if they were still here, you know, to start acknowledging that they're there, and or ask them, just say, look, I'm finding this really hard to believe you're there. So could you please send me a really clear sign that you're around?
You can ask for that?
Yeah, you can absolutely ask for that.
I read that in your book and I was like, ooh, that'd be fun.
Liz, I've discovered recently where this notion that you can actually, so I channel in writing. So I receive downloads when I write, free so write. And I recently discovered that you can talk to people who have passed, and it doesn't have to even necessarily be your family. It could be authority figures, artists, whatever. And that it can be a two-way conversation if you're open to it, where you can actually ask a question and then wait for a kind of associated writing sort of thing, an answer to come, and you can actually have a conversation. What do you think of that?
Well, as far as I know, that's called automatic writing. And I have, you know, played with that in the past, and I think it's great. I think it's very effective. One method I've tried that was suggested to me is using, when you go to get the answer in writing, you use your non-dominant hand to write. And that's actually really
hard.
It is hard, but it does seem to almost come through a bit purer. So you could try that, James. See how you go.
I'm actually, as you were speaking, I was like, I don't even know if I can do it, but I was able to write like some words.
But regardless of that method, I don't know why I threw that one in, but I just found
that's a great idea.
Interesting myself when I tried it. But yeah, for sure, that's journaling. It can be or writing, it can be a wonderful way for them to get their words through, particularly if you just get in that meditative space and just clear your mind a little bit and just and ask, you know, this whole thing of asking, please, you know, I would like the answer. It really seems to speed the whole process of the relationship to spirit up when we ask. You know, it's not hard to do. It's just like, help me, you know, and to get into that habit in your life with when we come across all the curveballs that are thrown at us day to day, you know, like, this is a bit challenging. I could do some help with this, you know.
Yeah. And I teach with some of my students that, that spirit is always there and supporting us, but to really give us help, we need to ask. We need to ask. It's almost like there's a rule.
Yeah, some sort of universal law that they can't interfere. I mean, and they can't, you know, unfortunately, they can't wave a magic wand and get rid of all our problems. That would be nice. But I don't think they're allowed to, you know, but because we're here to learn.
Darn.
God damn. But yeah, but they can guide us and they can suggest and gently nudge. And I'm sure sometimes they pull some very big strings when they can, or
I believe that. You know, yeah. Make like things happen, like synchronicities, or maybe you meet someone, you know, bring someone into your life, that kind of thing. Yeah. I believe that.
Yeah. They're kind of part of that. They're kind of, they're tapped into that sort of like universal orchestration that is happening in all of our lives. And that's kind of bringing, you know, everything together. They're kind of tapped into that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure they're, you know, they are a spirit guide to us. Even, you know, there's spirit guides, there's angels, and there's people who've passed, but even the people who've passed are a type of spirit guide to us, I feel, that care about us, you know. And I'm sure we would want to do that for our loved ones.
I had a psychic share with me in one reading that one of my family members came, which was not one I would have expected, like a very kind of distant relative. But they basically communicated to her that they are part, that like she, it was an aunt of mine, and she is part of my spirit guides. Like she's like part of the team. And I was like, that's interesting. Yeah. I mean, why me? Kind of. I was like, that was my first question. I'm like, why me? It's because we weren't that close. But the psychic that I was working with, she basically said, you know, sometimes there's just no logic or reasoning in any of this. It just sort of is, you know, and you just have to accept it, I guess. And you know, like you said, it's such a great, tremendous gift. And it's so, I think it's, like Lisa said earlier, I love that this kind of idea that these people pass and they leave our lives and we feel that loss and we have that grief, which is a very loving emotion. Grief is a very loving emotion. But then we feel like that's it. And even, you know, even the most skeptical person, if they could just like sit down for a second and say, well, what if I allowed myself to connect with these people and I was able to actually make a connection, and what an enrichment that comes to this my experience on this planet is to be able to have this reconnection with these people that I tremendously love and allow myself to experience that. I just feel like, you know, it's one of those kind of deals, like, even if you're the most skeptical person in the world, well, what is this hurt? I mean, how can you be harmed in any way from that?
Yeah. And I think it's that fear thing, you know, and that was my second element in the book is feeling safe, you know, to sort of look at those fears and see where you pick those fears up from, and are they actually valid? And, you know, are there ways that you can make yourself feel safe so that you can continue this relationship, you know? So I suggest ways to do that, because I really think that that's the main thing. It's fear, you know. And the old-fashioned image of a medium sitting in a closet with a turban on their head and a crystal ball and that sort of thing. You know, that's the old, you know, that's going now, I think. And, you know, we're all mediums anyway. We've all got that two-way radio somewhere within us that we were born with. It's just that... you know, we're not all professional mediums. That isn't our path for everybody. That's a calling, really. But it doesn't mean that you haven't got that ability. And in fact, I actually believe that mediumship is really just a very tiny aspect of our light within, of our brilliance within. That's just really child's play, really. You know? And in the future, that may well be really obvious, you know, but it may not seem like, oh, wow, you know, that's amazing. It's just like, oh, yeah, that's just normal, you know, that we can all walk around talking about our loved ones.
Well, I felt like, I don't know if this is true for everybody, but I've always felt like mediumship, or the idea of connecting with the other side, or the idea that there is life after death, physical, you know.
Consciousness after death, yeah.
Consciousness after, is one of the first things that people look at when they start a spiritual path, when they wake up and they start to open up to, you know, the energy of the universe. And I know that's true for me. That was the first thing. I was always super intrigued by any time I heard a medium talking about, you know, about the other side and life continuing on. And so that's interesting that you say that you talk about it being kind of like easy, like the like kindergarten for spirituality.
Yeah,
that we all have the ability to do it. I just find that really fascinating.
Yeah,
and I think that brings a lot of comfort to a lot of people, knowing that I can have a better relationship. Well, like for instance, with my mom passed away 10 years ago, and we had a good relationship when she passed, but prior to that, she was an alcoholic, recovering alcoholic, but an alcoholic when I was a child. And so we had a really difficult relationship throughout her life. And after she passed away, I would say to people, and I felt bad about it at the time, was I feel like I benefited from her dying, because she is way more supportive to me now and helpful to me now than she was when she was here on Earth.
Wow, that's wonderful.
And I really feel that way. And I remember one time saying it to my little sister, who struggled the most with my mom's death, and I felt kind of bad about it. But I think actually she got it. I think she understood what I was saying, or she does now anyway. Mm. So,
Yeah, I can totally relate to that. I have a very similar situation with my father, and we get along so much better since he passed away. Because we didn't really have much of a relationship, and he drank a lot too. So, yeah, it is. You can, so much healing can take place in our relationships if we're open to continuing them. because yes. often they're cut short and we don't get a chance for that resolution before they pass. So that's another beauty. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's about nurturing that relationship rather than just like James was saying before, and then it's gone, you know, and then it's over when they've passed. It's like we can continue to nurture the relationship by just acknowledging it.
How can people do that? We love giving these, you've already given a few great ideas of things that people can do, but how could people do that?
Well, I think, you know, we talked about talking to them, asking them for help. One of the most basics that are elementary things about communication to the other side is lifting our vibration, which is sort of tricky when you're feeling a lot of grief, because mm-hmm. grief can be a big blocker to the communication, but you can't just eliminate grief. You have to process that. But by when our energy raises, they have to come down. They're on like a different energy level. So they have to come down a bit and we have to go up, and then we connect and then we meet. So when you're feeling inspired or reasonably happy, or you're sitting in nature, or you've been meditating, and all of those things that make you feel good, you might be cuddling your pet or whatever does it for you to make you feel good, is when you're going to have more success of connecting with your loved ones.
Ooh, so I like that.
So when you're feeling really sad and you're going through a lot of grief, you might find it a bit harder to feel them, but that doesn't stop you asking or talking to them, you know, and saying,
I'm
feeling, you know, really sad right now, but I know you're there. I've got faith that you're there. And, you know, maybe you could come to me in a dream, you know, or bypass all that. So lifting our vibration and being open, not discarding. You see, the other thing we do is we go, give me a sign, give me a sign, give me a sign. And then this huge sign like almost hits us in the head. And then we're like, no.
No. You have all these reasons why.
Yeah, that's just a fluke.
Yeah. In our last recording that we did with Brandy Reinhart, I brought up the time that my mom, when I asked my mom for a sign, I asked her for a robin with a worm in its mouth, and it landed right in my path on the sidewalk. And at first I didn't sort of notice it. I was just like, it's, you know, there's robins all over the place. But then it was like, whoa, wait a minute. I just asked for that like 2 minutes ago. And then I shared with everyone how, when I share that with other people, there's some people who really think, wow, that's really cool. And other people who are skeptical and will say, this time of year, there's a lot of robins around, and, you know, so it's not it's not a miracle.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think it's human nature. Our brains want to understand. Our brains want to know. Yeah. And so I think in any time something happens that there's no explanation for, or it doesn't fit into our current level of understanding,
logic,
our brain kicks in and starts dismissing, you know, right? Like, or distracting or doing whatever. And so I think that's human nature, is something happens and you go, that isn't what I think it is.
Yeah. Right.
And then all of a sudden you start rationalizing it away. And to our point earlier, I think that just costs you. I mean, in the end of the day, that it's not bad or good. You're not connected. You and they may be sitting there looking at you going, I've tried. I keep trying.
You keep asking me in front of you that you asked for.
I mean, I can't physically like show up and smack you upside the head yet, but I'm working on it, I guess.
But I think what Liz was talking about, raising your vibration, is a big part of that. Like, if you're living in a fearful place, let's say that you're always worried, you know, that something's going to go wrong, then your vibration is lower. So you're not going to notice when something comes to you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Be aware of it.
And as you said, it's totally normal to rationalize it. But I think if you can learn to catch that moment when you begin to rationalize it and get a build a bit of awareness around that moment. Oh, this is what happens. They give me a sign and then I doubt it. And then go, oh, hang on, let me just be a bit open here. You know, maybe they really are sending me a sign. And I did ask for that. And you know, after a while, you just sort of smile when they happen. But the other thing that happens when you get a really real sign is it comes with a type of a feeling. It's like that you begin to recognize. It's like a gut feeling that you get at the same time the sign happens.
So kind of an intuitive hit. Like you just sort of like me with that cigarette smoke. It's like some part of me just knows that that's my grandma.
Yeah, you just know. That's right. Yeah, but thank you, Jen. She just identified that. And also the other big thing with signs is synchronicity. Is like you just asked for the sign, Lisa, and there it was. You know, it's like, or just, you know, some uncanny the moment that you were just thinking, you know. I had a funny thing happen the other day. I was thinking, oh, I must ring my husband, and my phone was in my pocket, and all of a sudden I heard it ringing, and I looked, and the phone was dialing my husband on it. So I didn't even, you know, I don't know what that was about, but
is really funny. Those spirits saying, yes, you need to call your husband.
We just actually had this conversation that there is some theories that the electronics, the operation of the electronic world, is something that maybe spirit can tap into to some extent, that it's available to them because maybe it you know, where it resonates, you know, the frequency in which electronics resonate.
That makes sense. And I've heard of a lot of stories of like televisions turning on when someone's passed over, that at the same time they died, the television turned on. Or, you know, I've heard of a lot of stories of electrical-y things and lights, you know, the light, or the old lights, how they flash. You hear that one a lot. Yep.
We have lamps on our side tables next to our bed, and they're from Pottery Barn, so they're not old. And there's this one light. If I ask for my mom or her husband, his name was Charlie, or ask mom or Charlie to come through to me, that light will blink. I don't know if it's them, but it blinks. And I'm like, okay.
I think maybe that one's easy for them. And maybe now they're getting more sophisticated with, you know, the phones.
We know how to use technology. I love it. So you've given us some really good tips for people to follow. Also, people can read your book because you have a lot of really good tips in there. And I noticed that on your website that people can join your newsletter and actually, sorry about that, guys. If they join your newsletter, they can get part of the book.
Yeah. They get a free excerpt download. If they want to, and the book's available on Amazon, and it's in either Kindle or paperback, and quite a lot of the online bookstores. I mean, if people really want to go to the effort to contact me directly, I can send a signed copy out as well.
That's so nice. Great. Okay. We'll put your website on with this recording. We'll have a link to your website so that people can find you.
Sure.
So your upcoming podcast that's getting ready to launch, can you I'm sure our listeners will want to jump over and start listening to that one as well. Can you give us an idea of what that podcast is going to be about?
Sure. Yes. So each podcast I'll be guided by spirit to choose a topic, and then I'll talk about that topic for, you know, just not that long, maybe a 10-15 minute talk. And then I will be providing a meditation that's relative to that topic in each podcast, because that's one of my passions, and that I love doing guided meditations. I put people to sleep a lot, but that's okay too.
I don't think that's you. I think that's life.
So that's how I'm starting it out. It's a new adventure. So, I mean, it may develop and grow and take a different direction, but that's how I'm sort of beginning it. anyway.
How fun. That sounds awesome. Yeah.
And then people can listen to your interview with Diane Ray on Unity Radio.
That's coming out on July the 29th. And then it will go into a podcast within the Unity website, I'd assume.
But they can listen to it on Unity Radio. We can maybe look for a link for that too and put that in so they can keep an eye out for that also.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Great.
Yay.
So awesome. Well, so good. Yeah. I just love, I could talk about this all day. I love having this conversation. Yeah. You know, because we talked about this before we started recording is, you know, our audience tends to be kind of left brainers, really logical, really reasoned. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners are skeptical. And so I love how you've sort of framed all of this in a very loving and compassionate and kind way that it basically says, look, you know, accept that this could be, you know, like you said, in your process. And then, you know, where's your place to where you can soften the fear and kind of start to embrace the benefit and the reconnection that we can have with these elements, these people, these souls that have been with us, you know, in some of our cases an entire lifetime. And it's so such a tremendous gift that you're bringing as you're kind of helping people kind of embrace this and practice this and then really enhance their lives with a reconnection. I just think it's a beautiful thing. And any skeptics out there, you know, set it aside, try it on for a little bit and see what what you experience.
Yeah, exactly. So,
love
it. You know, they don't want us to be alone. We don't have to do this life alone. And it can be quite lonely. You can be in a crowded room and feel lonely, you know.
Yeah.
But we always have those people in spirit who just love us unconditionally. And, you know, well, who wouldn't want to be part of that, I think.
Yeah. Well, like you said in the beginning, love is like the strongest vibration in the universe.
Mm. It's light.
And so how could it go away?
Yeah, love exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you for joining us today. That was a really fun conversation. We'd love to have you back.
Yay. Yeah,
another conversation.
Yeah, and thanks for getting up so early to talk with us today.
No. Luckily, I'm an early person anyway.
good.
Okay, thank you so much for having me. It's been great.
Yeah, and with that, I think we'll say bye-bye.
Bye, everyone. Bye-bye.